This is a new experience for me and for all of us, I presume, having church online. And so we welcome you to Pocomoke River Church this evening, Zoom version. And we're looking forward to worshiping together and being encouraged, because we certainly live in an age, a time where there's a lot of discouragement, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of panic. And this is a time we need the Lord, we need each other, we need hope, we need faith. So you've come to the right place, because I believe that God has it all under control. We have nothing to fear and everything to rejoice about and give him praise for. So I'd like to begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll do a children's story after that. So Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you have given us technology that allows us to meet even when we can't meet. And this is amazing to me. When I was the age of these children, this couldn't have possibly happened. And yet you've given us wisdom and discernment as a human beings to be able to communicate in new ways and fresh ways. And so thank you for the privilege we have of using this mode of communication to give you honor and praise and glory. I pray that as we're together tonight, we'll be encouraged, we'll have our faith strengthened, we'll find fresh hope in you and encouragement. And so, Father, we just bless you and pray that as we're together this evening, your name will be lifted high. Lord Jesus, we honor you and thank you so much for all that you have accomplished on our behalf with providing salvation and eternal life. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome here tonight. I pray that you'll move in our hearts, that you'll speak encouragement to us, and that we will come out of this time together more like Jesus than when we gathered. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening, one of the things I want to talk about is our dwelling place, the place where we live. So I remembered a story that I came across a long time ago. I think I shared it one time in the story. So if you remember it, forgive me for repeating it, but I think it speaks well of the situation that we find ourselves in today. There's a story about a mother hen. Can you see the picture of the chicken with her little chicks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Cute. Yes.
So keep that picture in mind while I tell and read this story for you about how a mother hen takes care of her baby chicks. And there were other birds that do the same thing, like ducks. And maybe geese, I don't know about geese. But the story goes that there was a forest fire. And in this forest fire, there were a lot of animals their homes were destroyed and they had to flee for their lives. Birds had to fly out of the forest and deer had to run and rabbits had to hop away. And sadly, not all of them were able to do that. So when there is a forest fire, there are animals that die in the fire. And so the firemen got the fire under control. And as they were walking back to go through the forest to make sure that there were no small areas that were still burning or anything that was still a hot spot that might burst into flames, on the trail, one fireman noticed a lump in the middle of the trail. And he walked up to it and he couldn't figure out what it was because it had been so burned. And as he got closer, he realized that it was a big bird of some kind. And it had been severely burned and it had died. And since birds can so easily fly away from a fire, he couldn't understand what was wrong with that bird that it couldn't escape the fire. Had it been sick? Had it been injured? Did it break a wing? What had happened? So when he got to the body of the dead bird, he decided to move it off of the trail. So he just took his boot and kind of shoved it off the side of the trail. And as soon as he did, he was startled half to death by a flurry of activity around his feet. Four little birds, four little chicks, flailed in the dust and the ash, and then they scurried away down the hillside. The bulk of the mother's body and the mother's feathers had covered them from the extreme heat and the flames of the fire. And it was enough to consume the mother. It killed the mother, but it allowed the babies to find safety underneath her wings. And in the face of the rising flames, the mother had stayed in the forest with her young chicks because she knew that that was the only way that they could be saved. So the hen in the story was the only chance the chicks had for safety, and she was willing to give her own life in order to save her baby chicks, even at the point of terrible pain and death. So this lady that's telling this story has chickens in her home, and she said that she noticed that not all chicks run to their mothers in times of danger. Some are either paralyzed in panic or fear, or they try to find a way to get to save themselves. And if they don't run to their mother, if they try to save themselves, or if they're too scared to do anything, they die. And the mother hen just simply doesn't have enough time to run around and gather them each one up. They have to come to her. And all of the chicks that ever survived the forest fire or the cats on the farm had to stay close to their mother, or they would not live. But the mother hen always saved them from that trouble. But this goes on, and it says that there's a greater story that's illustrated in the one that we have here, and it's the true story of God, who before time made a way to save his own wandering children from destruction. Jesus said in Matthew, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." And then we have this story that God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he determined ahead of time for us to be adopted to be his children through Jesus Christ. And he has freely given us this eternal life in Jesus. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So what I want us to know is that when we run to God and ask him to forgive us and to hold us close, he's happy to do that. And he protects us. He protects us spiritually by giving us salvation so that we can be free from sin and we can live with him forever and we can live a victorious life here and now. And The Bible also tells us that, when this gets more into the sermon, that he protects us from pestilence, from diseases, and things that we're facing now. So we want to find faith in God, to live for him, and trust him to be our protector. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you gave your life so that we could have life, and that we could have life abundantly, not just a little bit. And that you give us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so I pray for these people, especially that they would have no fear today because they trust you and they find in you the strength and the hope and the protection for life. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for your good attention. Now you'd, if we were having church, you'd be running off to Sunday school, wouldn't you?
Okay, bye.
Okay. Well, I have a message I'd like to share tonight, and then at the end of that time, I'd like to open it up for some sharing time and some prayer, either to give you opportunity to share praise reports of how God has been faithful, or maybe you have some concerns that you want to pray about, or maybe you have questions about the message that you want to discuss, or some other things. So I welcome you to participate in that when that time comes, especially. Now, I don't have, ordinarily, I would have scriptures to put up for you to read, but in this format, I haven't figured out how to do that yet, if there is a way. So I invite you to open your Bible apps or your Bibles, whichever you've got. I'll be reading from the New International Version tonight, and we'll begin with Psalm 91. So I'll give you a few seconds to gather that. And, in our society today and around the world, we find very little to be encouraged and hopeful about. If we watch the news or read the news or hear what's being talked about, we hear a lot of panic, we hear a lot of fear, uncertainty. How long is this going to happen? Is it going to wind up with an economic depression or recession, or what hope is there? If we listen, it sounds like this is a virus that most everybody's going to get, and most everybody that gets it dies. Well, we know that neither of those statements is true. People are getting it. It is a serious illness, and there are people who die from the illness. That being said, the overwhelming majority of people who do get the virus survive, and then they thrive after that survival. So I invite you to reflect with me on Psalm 91. And again, I'm reading from the New International Version. And it says this, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, in the shelter of God, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, dwelling is the place we live. It's our home. It's where we're comfortable. It's where we feel safe, or I hope it's where we feel safe. And it's if our dwelling is in God, then that's what the psalmist is encouraging us for. He says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if God's shadow is over you, you know he's near. And if he's near, we have nothing to fear, nothing at all. And so we can relax, we can rest, we can be at peace, we can be in comfort, just simply knowing that God is present. And the Psalm 23 tells us, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And when God is with us, we have no need to fear anything, and certainly not evil. So he goes on in verse 2, the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I invite you to say that with me. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That needs to be our profession of faith. That needs to be a true statement from my heart that I take refuge in God. I find protection in God. And I can, it's part of dwelling in his shelter and resting in his shadow. And I just think that's awesome. And that's encouraging. So the psalmist goes on, he says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. The fowler being the bird catcher, the one who sets a snare along the path for the birds to be caught. He'll save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So let's stop and talk about that a little bit. God will save us from whatever is around us. He's our protector. He's our provider. And he loves us passionately. And he gave his life for us. And he just invites us to trust him. And you know, we have a choice. We can live by faith, or we can live in fear. And to live by faith means that the Word of God, the Bible, has to be more real to us than our circumstances. And that's challenging sometimes. And I realize that. But let me give you an example of it from the scripture. Elijah, he was a man of God. James tells us that he prayed, and for 3 years, he was a man just like us, and he prayed, and for 3 years it didn't rain. And then he prayed, and it did rain. So he was a man of great faith. But during that time when it was drought, and it was time for him to pray again, for the heavens to open, listen to what he did. When Elijah prayed for rain on top of Mount Carmel, he put his face between his knees and told his servant to go look for clouds. Now, why do you think Elijah put his face between his knees when he had prayed in faith for clouds and rain? I think it was because he was maybe afraid there wasn't going to be any clouds or rain, and that it might damage his faith if he didn't see it. And so he sent his servant to go. He said, look for a cloud and then tell me what's going on. And, you know, if we are going to live by faith, we can't continue to just be bombarded with bad news and with fear statements. If all we do all day is watch the news and listen to the forecasts and get the woe is me, the world's in trouble, messages that are coming through the media so strongly, then our faith is going to be really beaten down. We need to spend time in God's Word. That's dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. And it's being in God's Word. It's spending time in prayer, talking to Him. It's talking to other believers about what we're hearing from the Lord and how we're being encouraged by the scriptures that we're reading. And you know, to live by faith, we have to have our faith strengthened. And we have to believe that God will keep his word. Now, the good news is that even though Elijah put his face between his knees and sent his messenger, his servant out to find out what was happening, it wasn't long until there was a cloud the size of his fist. Wasn't very big, but it doesn't take a big amount of results to boost faith tremendously. Any results brings our faith stronger and stronger. And so it was for Elijah. Once he knew that there was a small cloud, then he had the faith to stand up and say, we need to run because it's going to rain a torrent. And it did. And so, you know, we need to keep our head between our knees in prayer and communication with the Lord as long as it takes for us to have the faith to look up and to walk out and to stand in faith. And so he goes on. Okay, he's going to cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be our shield and our rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. That it sounds to me right now like the psalmist is talking about the coronavirus, the plague that destroys at midday. We don't need to fear it. It says 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And, you know, again, we have a choice. We can live in fear. We can be skeptical. We can say, that's, I don't know. Well, that's unbelief. Or we can choose to believe God's word. And Isaiah 55, says something about that. I want to move over to that. Isaiah 55. Oh, that's right. I was going to do that on my phone so I could have it in two places at once. Okay. Isaiah 55, 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word is not empty. It's powerful. It brings results and it's effective. And so we need to accept that and have our faith built by the fact that God said that his word will accomplish what he desires and it'll achieve what he sent it for. And then he goes on. I just have to read these next verses. Because you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Isn't that a wonderful way to live today? Everybody around us is fearful. Everybody around us is in panic mode. And how are we? We're going out in joy and we're led forth in peace. Why? Because we dwell in the shelter of the Most High and under the shadow of the Almighty. And his word is true. It's faithful. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Back to Psalm 91. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. God's promise is for provision and for protection. Because he loves me, says the Lord, rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The hymn is the one that loves the Lord, and it's the one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. And that's where we want to be, dwelling in the shelter of the Lord, experiencing his blessing, spending time in prayer, and celebrating who God is and all that he's accomplished in our lives. So I'd like to pray at this time that God's word will be strong and powerful in our lives, and then I'll have some sharing time.
Be nice.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises of it.
Be nice.
Thank you for being faithful.
Everybody,
thank you for the privilege we have of walking in the freedom of your Spirit's provision and protection. So, Father, I pray that you'll continue to bless each of us with good health, with strength, with powerful faith, and with a focused mind set on you, worshiping you, praising you, glorifying and honoring you. I thank you for all of this in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. So, who has something you'd like to share with us or a concern you'd like us to be in prayer about?
I know that the enemy is the one that engineered this, but God promised that he will not allow, he will, Romans 8:28, he will,
all things work together.
All things work together for good. And so I was thinking that today, as I was meditating, God is using this time, and he will use it for his glory. And I would like us to think of him and put our trust in him, because he's the one that supplies our every need. And so that's the word I think that God wants us to hear.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm thankful for our backyard and that we found toilet paper on Friday.
Yeah, it's interesting what little things, quote unquote, we can be so thankful for and become so important in life.
Right. I'm praying that there's food supply tomorrow when I go grocery shopping. Yeah. And we're also praying for the small business owners in our family.
Right.
So Jeremy and Brian, construction.
Yeah, I am thinking of people who work in the restaurant industry. I ran into three of them just recently. One is a waitress at Red Roof, and I went into Walmart to pick up a prescription this week, and there she was behind the counter working at Walmart. And so I asked her how she was doing. I said I had been thinking of waitresses and the ones I go to in particular. And she said, well, things are really slow at the restaurant. I'm really thankful I have this day's work here. And then last week I settled on a house with a couple who bought a house, and he worked at Ruby Tuesday in the kitchen. So he's now out of work a week after he bought a new house. And I was in communication with his wife about an issue they were having with the house, and asked how they were doing. And she told me that. And then she said, but we're doing great, because by buying the house, we saved $500 from what we would have had to pay rent every month. And we had money saved, and we're going to be okay. So that's encouraging too. And then today I got a call from, or I got a lead that I followed up on. A man was interested in buying a property. And when I talked to him about it, he said, well, I'm in the restaurant industry, and so I put all that on hold right now, but keep my name and get back to me at a later date. So lives are certainly being affected, and we want to remember people that's true of. It's also going to be, you know, I think of places like Cisco, where they deliver a lot of food to restaurants, and truck drivers that work for Cisco, those deliveries are going to be, it's far-reaching in the economic impact it'll have on people. We do need to be praying for them, encouraging them with as we can, helping them as we can. Someone else.
Just wanted to pray for my friend Jason, who's one of those Cisco truck drivers.
Okay.
They work in 2 days a week right now. So he's losing, I think he said it's $1,000 a week that he's losing out on right about now.
Wow.
And then usually when business starts picking up for them because of the warmer weather.
Okay, yeah. And getting toward Memorial Day and summer vacation and the influx on Ocean City. Right now we have to wonder what that'll look like.
And then also a lot of the parents of my students who are watermen, because right now there literally is no seafood industry because of all the restaurants being shut down.
Oh, wow.
So they're bringing in seafood and they can't sell it.
Yeah, we need to be praying for a quick end to this virus. I'm trusting, I'm hoping that it's kind of like the flu, that as the season gets warmer, it diminishes and goes away, because that warm weather is just around the corner in terms of the length of time.
Are you sharing your praise, Dad?
Yeah, I was kind of sitting here thinking about that. You know, somehow that paled a bit in relation to the seriousness of the virus and everything that we're dealing with there. But most of you are aware that I've had a house that had been the home that we lived in and that my children spent a good portion of their lives growing up in. We've been trying to sell for a number of years, and Friday, I guess it was, I finally have a fully signed contract for the sale of that, and the settlement date of April 30. So I am extremely thankful and happy and celebrating Jesus. So
just at the right time.
Just at the right time. Yeah. And I'm also thankful that I don't have to pay my income tax bill until July now. Because there was some numbers starting to get tight, knowing how much I'm going to have to pay for income tax. And I still have some repairs I'll have to make on that house before it sells. And different things, but God's provision is just awesome. And he's done it again. So we trust it goes all the way to settlement. Someone else. Okay. Let's take a couple of minutes. each of you or any of you be free to lead out in prayer as things that have been shared are heavy on your heart, or maybe you think of something else. And in a few minutes, then I'll close.
Father, help us to put our trust in you. Help us to know that you are our supplier. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in every way and share your love and your joy with others and be an encouragement to them. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you that we can live in without a spirit of fear, and that we can have your love and peace and sound mind, and that we can, even though we want to be safe and cautious and make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to thwart any pestilence, that you will just give us that joy and peace in our lives.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is Van.
Yeah, Van, welcome.
Okay, I want to pray for all the healthcare workers because they're going through it right now.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up every doctor, every nurse, every therapist, every occupational therapist, every dietitian, every RN, every CNA, every driver, transport driver, hospital workers, and nursing home workers, Father, that have to work overtime during these times, and it's really tough on them. So I just lift them up. You lift their countenance up, and I just praise you, Father, that you're keeping them healthy right now, and just give us all strength, Father, as we're all in this thing together. And we just pray for our country tonight that you would just supernaturally go before us and open up the doors and keep everybody from being sick, as the healthcare workers in America are on the front lines. And we just lift them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I'm Mariah.
Welcome, Mariah.
I just wanted to say, been doing a lot of thinking about why something like this is happening or what it could be teaching us. And so I look forward to seeing the good that can come out of all of this. And I think, you know, I realize this is not a surprise to God. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how he can turn this all into good. And hopefully it'll, you know, bring more people to believe in him and have that peace. And I also pray that everyone can make healthy habits to change their lifestyles permanently, not just during this time, to help us strengthen and nourish our bodies and to respect our bodies so that our bodies can fight off germs and whatever else it might face, as they're designed to do. So I pray for strength for everyone.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to be foolish at a time like this. You know, having faith doesn't make us stupid. You know, we don't do rash things that are unreasonable. We trust God. We believe that he'll take care of us, but we wash our hands and we keep healthy distance where it's necessary. But at the same time, we want to connect with people, and you know, we want to be the encouragement, be that word of hope in the world. And speaking to what you're saying, Mariah, about the good that comes, I think there is more of a spirit of, maybe it's not connectedness, but maybe it's mutual concern and around the world and among people. And if we can keep that and have that going, that's a good thing.
Amen.
That's right. So,
glad you're with us, man.
Yeah, Carla sent me the link. Wonderful.
Yeah. I'll have you preach for me sometime.
Yeah, over this thing. Yeah.
That's Jeremy's dad.
Oh, okay.
Hey, everybody.
He's in West Virginia. That's the amazing thing about anywhere in the world and get together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was telling Jeremy before we started this, depending on how this goes for us, maybe we should stream live every Sunday night, every Sunday together, and people that can't come can still come.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, any other good words of encouragement for each other or items? I mean, I think we certainly want to pray for the economic well-being of people, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional health of people, and know that God, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, and Satan's the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we're not blaming this on God. It's not his fault that we're going through a virus around the world. His fault that healing comes. And we bless him and praise him for that.
I just wanted to thank God for the blessing of being able to spend more time with my family through all this, since the schools are closed. Mm-hmm. And also for blessing of, while people are freaking out over hamburger meat, we can grab a couple of fishing poles and fill up the freezer.
You got so, it. You got it.
Blessing in disguise.
Yep, that's right.
Yep. Right, well, I'm encouraged by the fact that we can be together tonight and that we can worship the Lord this way, and look forward to continued. If you have suggestions of how we can be more effective in our worship, give us your feedback on the thought of music being part of it in some way. Other aspects of it that we can improve on, we're open to that feedback and welcome your thoughts.
Can we see more of Isaiah dancing? I like those moves, buddy.
Isaiah, show us how you celebrate Jesus. Anna, I bet you and your dance class could do it too.
Thank you for being willing to do something new.
Yeah, that's fun.
I want to keep on doing it.
We will.
Very good.
Great. Well, thanks for coming tonight, and I pray that you each have an awesomely blessed week and continue in good health and strength and celebrating the presence of the Lord in your lives. God bless you.
God bless you.
Same to you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.